You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Tea and Sympathetic Magic, Chapter 5. "You shouldn't be here," Mr. Thornberry told Neame as she stepped into her cousin's boudoir. Was it a boudoir if owned by a gentleman? And found herself, for the second time this week, alone with the spellcracker in a bedroom. "If you're worried about my marriageability, don't be," she said with false levity. "Once this story gets out, I'll be invited to every dinner party from now until eternity." Thornberry gave her a ruffled, annoyed sort of look. "I'm glad this is all so entertaining for you. Please return to the library and rejoin your party. I have a job to do." "No," said Neame, and took another step into the room. Her heart was beating faster. This was the most scandalous thing she had ever done. Despite her cynicism about the marriage market and society, she did want to marry. She wanted a quiet life with a good husband, in a home similar to the one where she currently lived, when she was allowed to be away from the social whirl, well away from the control of her dear mamma. She wanted to be respectable enough that she was still invited to the weddings and naming days of her family members and friends. If she did this, she might lose that future. She might end up ruined, not merely on the shelf. But Neame had entered society dreading the possibility that she might someday end up married to someone not of her choice. She could not let that happen to Cousin Henry if she had the means to stop it, even if he had grown up into the worst sort of self-satisfied peacock. "I know where Lady Lovage has taken him," she informed Mr. Thornberry, "and I'm coming with you."
"You are not," he said immediately.
"Ladies cannot travel by portal, unmarried ladies especially. Not even married ladies with their husband's permission could hold their head up in public after such a scandal." "Well, I'll have to petition the Queen for her forgiveness if I get caught," Neame said desperately. "You can't do this without me."
"Why?" Thornberry demanded.
"Knowing it's Lady Lovage, well, she doesn't have a family estate anymore. She lives in town. So the most likely option is the family temple on the Seaborne estate of the Isle of Memory."
Thornberry frowned. "Your father's estate?"
She did not question how he knew that for certain. Clearly he had rigorously checked the backgrounds of all of the ladies invited to the house party, including the one that the Duke had hired to run the affair. Lady Lovage was short on funds, since her late husband's demise years ago, which was why she hired herself out as a hostess in the first place. Her country estate had been the first to be sold off. "The fastest way to get there is using the portal in my father's private library," said Neame. "You can't access it without invitation. You certainly can't make it through the estate wards on the house and grounds without being accompanied by a member of the family." She caught her breath, waiting.
"Are you sure?" Thornberry began to say.
"It all fits," she insisted, eager to share her working out. "You said she'd only be able to hide him this well if he was to be married on a private estate, if the location was of significance to him. Henry loved playing in our family temple as a boy. We used to run away from our fussing mamas and play castles there. He never had a chance to play at home, because everyone was always reminding him that he was going to be a duke someday." Neame was overtaken by a wave of nostalgic fondness for her cousin. Ridiculous man that he was now. Little Henry loved the temple on the Isle of Memory best of all, because of the wild ocean view, and the fact that the temple was on high ground, just far enough away that he and Neame and Metis could play out of sight of the grown-ups. She'd forgotten about those games, about Henry's little face sulky and cross when his mamma dragged him about in that starchy suit, paying calls on her sisters. He did not come alive until he was out of her sight, with his jacket off and his hair blowing in the sea breeze. The Seaborne sisters, Galatea and Hecate and Antiope,
ladies of such proud magical lineage that when they all came out in the same season without a single dowry between them, two of them quickly caught gentlemen who were more than willing to change their name upon marriage. And the third, of course, married a duke. Lady Lovage was there sometimes too, Neame recalled, gossiping over mint tea and tiny savouries, though her little girls were younger and duller than the Seaborne cousins and simply terrible at playing castles. Oh. Neame closed her eyes for a moment. Lady Lovage has four daughters, she whispered. Four daughters without dowries. Of course. Now it made sense. Thank goodness for that, said another voice, breaking into their conversation. So the old bat doesn't want to steal our duke for herself. It was Cousin Metis, highly amused at catching her cousin alone with the spellcaster. Do hope I'm not interrupting something. I'm trying to talk Miss Seaborne out of doing something that would greatly damage her reputation, said Mr. Thornberry, sounding desperate. Cousin Metis smiled in a sly sort of way that she rarely shared in mixed company. Neame, are you trying to have all the fun? Back in a minute. She slipped away as quickly as she had arrived, leaving Neame staring desperately at Mr. Thornberry, and once again without a chaperone. Why are you doing this? He asked, in a low voice that made her spine tighten, as if she were wearing old-fashioned corsetry beneath the nightgown. Because, Neame replied, no one should marry the wrong person. This is society, Mr. Thornberry said, sounding weary. Ladies and gentlemen marry the wrong person all the time. I won't. Neame said with more confidence than she had ever felt on the matter. And neither will Cousin Henry, if I have any say in it. Thornberry gave her a tight smile. Your optimism is noted. Neame snatched up a piece of ducal stationery from the nearest chest of drawers and scribbled a few lines on it. The bearer of this letter is an invited guest to the private estate of Shellitch Standing, on the Isle of Memory, by Miss Mnemosyne Seaborne and family. She signed it with a flourish, infusing the signature with her own magical pattern. It was a common form of sympathetic magic, the personal invitation. Like private letters and oaths in blood, it opened doors that otherwise might remain closed. In this case, it should give Mr. Thornberry full portal access to her family home and the wider estate. A lady might not be allowed to use portals without dire social consequences, but her correspondence skills were essential to the smooth running of the portal network. Thornberry accepted the letter with gratitude and held it up to the portal, warming up the magic necessary to make his voyage. Their voyage. Neame was determined, though he still had not agreed to take her with him. The Duke's portal resembled a full-length mirror with a slightly wider girth than was necessary for a standard reflection. Neame had often wondered if the reason ladies were prohibited from the most convenient form of travel in the first place was because of the wide skirts and gravity-defying wigs of the previous generation's fashions, which would have made it impossible to squeeze through a standard frame. As a vortex of swirling purple and green lights began to form in the portal, Neame heard a ladylike clearing of a throat and looked up. Cousin Metis was back, still in her nightgown, though she'd thrown a shawl over the top of it, as if this might fool anyone into thinking she was properly dressed. She was accompanied by Lady Liesel of Sandwich and Mrs. Juno von Trask, who were just as improperly attired, and looked equally pleased with themselves. "Oh, no," said Thornberry, when he turned and saw them arrayed in the doorway. "I simply cannot allow." "It's amusing that you think you have a say in the matter," said Juno, in a voice that made it clear she did not find it even slightly amusing. "Consider us mutual chaperones," said Cousin Metis, with an arch look at Neame.
"Speak for yourself," said Lady Liesel, in her lilting, lovely voice. "I still intend to capture myself a duke."
"I could lose my license if the Queen discovers I allowed four ladies to use a portal, let alone a private gentleman's portal," Thornberry protested.
"The Duke of Storm is one of the Queen's favourites, is he not?" said Metis. "I'm sure she'll be very grateful he was rescued. Speaking of gratitude, I don't want Cousin Neame to be the only eligible lady involved in His Grace's rescue. He's likely to try and marry her on the spot the second he comes to his senses, all the more so if she's been compromised."
"Good point," said Neame, who hadn't even thought of that ghastly possibility.
"And thank you."
"It's entirely selfless on my part," said Metis, smiling with all her teeth.
"We intend to make sure the Duke has a choice of ladies to bestow his gratitude upon," said Juno. "It's only fair."
Thornberry shook his head and turned back to work on the portal again, the magic humming like a pianoforte as he tuned and readied it. Neame took the opportunity to catch her cousin's sleeve and draw her to a far corner of the room.
"What are you really plotting?" she whispered. "You aren't still setting your cap at Cousin Henry?"
"Never mind me. I know what you're up to, Mnemosyne Seaborn," Cousin Metis whispered back. "You think that if you bruise your reputation just enough, you might be able to convince your papa, if not your mama, who would overdose on smelling salts rather than let it happen, to let you lower yourself to a professional husband. A spellcracker, perhaps?"
Neame blushed hotly. "Don't be so vulgar. Professionals are no better or worse than gentlemen, and they have a far sight, more use to the world. Any lady would be lucky to have a capable, talented man like Mr. Thornberry as a husband. But it won't be me."
Metis blinked, surprised at this turn of events.
"Why on earth not?"
"Look at him," Neame hissed, with a hand gesture that was far from discreet. Luckily, Thornberry was so caught up in his work and distracted by an ongoing argument with Juno and Lady Liesel that he didn't notice a thing. "He's the Duke of Storm's man. His life will be a constant whirl of drama, disaster, politics and society events. Darting between town and court and the various ducal estates and commitments, marrying him would be just as bad as marrying Henry himself. The future Mrs. Thornberry, like the future Duchess of Storm, will either spend half her life in lace carriages and swan boats, or stuck at home with the children. Either way, she'll barely see her husband from one week to the next."
"I thought you were longing to be stuck at home," said Cousin Metis impatiently.
"I want more than that from a marriage," confessed Neame, her eyes returning to the strong, capable figure of Thornberry in his shirt sleeves.
Cousin Metis scoffed at her. "We don't all get what we want. Do you think I want to marry Cousin Henry or some other lord like him?"
Neame took her cousin's hand and gazed with fondness at her face so like her own. Neither of them had a sister. Why weren't they closer?
"You deserve more from life than merely escaping your mama," Neame said with love.
"Expect more, Metis."
"There's something seriously wrong with you," sighed her cousin. But when Neame hugged her on impulse, Metis hugged back.
Mr. Thornberry had clearly lost the argument with Juno von Trask. "The portal is ready," he announced with a general glower around the room. "But if Queen Ord or any other concerned citizen asks, I had no idea what the four of you were planning." He released the last unlocking charms on the portal, which sparkled with a constellation of colour. "I'm going to step through to Shellitch Standing, and the portal will be active for the 10 minutes following my transportation. If any foolhardy ladies choose to follow me, it is none of my concern." He practically threw himself through the portal and was gone in an instant. "Did Letty not wish to join us?" Neame asked aloud.
"She decided against risking her reputation. Her mother was so grateful she stayed behind that Dr. St. Swithin started looking rather hopeful about his chances," said Juno. "Personally, I'm all for taking back the power. Let's make portal travel not only allowable for ladies, but fashionable, shall we?"
Lady Liesel didn't hesitate, leaping into the portal like she was entering a country dance. Metis followed, with Juno not far behind.
No going back now.
Neame hoped that Cousin Henry appreciated what she was risking on his behalf, and that he didn't appreciate it so much that he started getting funny ideas. She took a deep breath and stepped into the portal.
Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week for more adventures in tea and sympathetic magic.